Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Well, those racing juices are flying now, aren't they? Yeah, 24 hours of Daytona, firmly in the history books. How about that? Cadillac and Wayne Taylor Racing takes the overall win. Beautiful weather down in the Florida area. So glad you could tune in tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior right here in the Racetime Radio studio. Junior, we got a whale of a lineup tonight.
Hey, I took last week off. I'm back, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
BC was fun.
It was fun. And then I came back and I had a disease.
Yeah,
I was sick
cold
all week, man.
Yeah.
But finally just getting over it. If you hear me cough in the background, I'm extremely sorry. I still have a little bit of a tickle. But, yeah, so this weekend, of course, Rolex 24.
Yeah.
Big weekend of racing. Cordell, Georgia. Lots of late model, super late model, CRA action taking place down there. A little bit of heat under the collar for some of the biggest names in super late model racing. Of course, Bubba Pollard and Steven Nassi getting into it with a questionable incident.
Yeah.
Kind of dividing the overall fan base. Some people say, you know, it was just general contact. Some people say Steven took him out. You know, it was definitely intriguing and a big weekend of racing down there. Of course, an up-and-coming name as well, with Heim going to Victory Lane in that race. A couple of Georgia natives standing 1-2 on the podium. So that was a big showing down there.
Yeah, it sure was. We'll have lots to talk about with that in mind tonight. Let me tell you who we got coming up on the show. We have a surprise guest for absolutely everybody. Trust me when I say you will know this guest. He's going to join us in just a couple of moments. But I want to tell you who else we've got on the show tonight. We've got the general manager of Ducasse Motor Speedway. Alex Nagy is going to join us in, 15 minutes or so. Alex, of course, made the big announcement with the Canadian Short Track Nationals coming up. The date is out of the box and things are ready to go at Canada's 5/8 mile big, beautiful speedway. We'll check in with Alex Nagy tonight. Well, also, we also got great news, Junior. Right near the end of last week, looks like Alex Lebe is going to be back behind the wheel of that DGM number 36 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. So, Alex heading for Daytona. Before he does, he's going to stop by Racetime Radio right here. We'll also talk to Geneva Sheffield. She drives the number 8 dirt car. She's running down at Humberstone.
Brockville.
That's it.
And Cornwall. She's got a couple stops in upstate New York as well into Ohio. And I believe on her bio, there was another state, Pennsylvania, I believe, in there as well.
Well, she was awarded the sponsorship through Ladies of the Oval. And we're going to talk with Geneva here tonight on the show. And then all the way out at Sun Peaks, BC, Jason White is taking on Daytona once again. He is going to be behind the wheel of one of Andy Hillenburg's machines in the ARCA Menard Series. We'll check in with Jason White tonight. I believe he and his son are on the way home from a big downhill event that his son participated in today. So we'll get the results of that, too.
Yeah, for sure. A guy that is super fired up, of course. Last year, crossed over the 100 line, starts in the NASCAR Pinty Series. Just a big milestone for him. And he comes from a full-blown racing family. We've talked to Jason White a number of times on this program, probably in excess of about 15 times. He's a great friend of RTR, but last year He was in the truck race and the ARCA race. Mm-hmm. So we'll ask him about that as well with the truck series. Can we expect to see him with a tailgate as well down there?
Yeah, that'll be kind of cool. Now that the 24 Hours of Daytona is in the history books, everybody's attention is now turning to Speed Weeks 2020. And I know our next guest here, we got him up on the hotline. I can well imagine he is heading for Speed Weeks right now, excited to get down there. Let's welcome in Mr. Kenny Wallace. What's going on tonight, Herminator?
Well, my friend, I'm a passenger in my truck right now. My dear friend, Austin Harris, my one and only crew member, he's driving. We're closing in on Nashville, Tennessee right now, and we're going to go to Charlotte, North Carolina first and go to my chassis builder shop for a couple days, work on tune on my chassis, and then we head on down to Volusia Speedway, the dirt track, and start out the Winter Nationals on Tuesday, February 4th.
You got to love it, Herm. This time of the year, right, everything gets fired up, and you guys are just itching to get back to the track. Have you been away now since the fall? Haven't done any racing, just spent a little time with Kim and the family and hanging out?
Yep, you're exactly right. The last race we really ran, well, we ran what they call Modified Mania. That was the end of September, and we did run the indoor race in St. Louis, the Dome. But for the most part, winters are very long. And, you know, when they only have one of something per year, so like the Daytona 500, it's one time a year. You know, the Winter Nationals, the Dirt Car Nationals, it's one time a year. So it gets really exciting, you know. Tired of it getting dark at 4:45 in the day, and gets very depressing. So I'm extremely excited at 56 years old of go racing, let's head south, and I'm jacked up.
Kenny, you love that half-mile dirt track as well. It's been good to you over the years. Volusia County is one of those tracks that that fans definitely turn out to. That grandstand is usually loaded up every single night of Speed Weeks down there.
It is, and I believe it's so crowded. You know, they announced a record crowd last year. And, you know, Volusia was famous. You know, I won my very first NASCAR Xfinity race at Volusia when it was asphalt. So the track has a lot of history. So I won my very first NASCAR Xfinity race in 1991. And then I came back in the year 2007. And they turned it to dirt. And I won when it was dirt. So that track has history. The World of Outlaws sprint cars race there, the World of Outlaw late models, and of course our modified, you know, the big block, Northeastern modified. So it's 2 weeks of every night racing, and all the fans from Canada and all around the world, they come down there for a couple weeks, and it's just a lot of fun.
Now, you guys have a gas, I know you do. We've been there a number of times watching you. And brand new piece this year for the 36, Kenny? Or what are you doing? Just maybe fixing up what you had and taking it down? Or what do we got heading down to Speed Weeks?
Got a new car. I say new. It's got about 11 races on it. I had two race cars, and I had a car last year that did a majority of the work, a lot of the racing. And so this car is relatively new. It's got a good track record. It's ran well. And we're going to take the old car and turn it into what we call a bullring car. It's going to run all the tracks that we beat and bang on. And this is more of my bigger track car, you know, run the half mile, the 3/8. So, you know, and no different than anybody else. We're trying to get better. And David Stremme owns Lethal Chassis, and he believes he's better, so he confides in me. We're good friends. I'm one of his very close friends, and so he's going to install the latest thing, the latest greatest setup he has. So we all run well down there. So all the Lethal cars are competitive.
Kenny, touching on that, of course, you guys have, you know, come through the ranks, basically, you know, through at a similar era, David Stremme and his program. You guys have raced against each other lots. Talk about that relationship, you know, kind of going forward, and what you're liking most about those Lethal chassis.
Well, Well, our relationship is different. David knew about the Wallace family, and I knew about the Stremley family. You know, David's family's from South Bend, Indiana. His mother raced, his brothers raced, and, of course, with the Wallaces, you know, we raced. And my mom even run powder puffs. Well, David called me one day. He read my book. There was a book wrote on me called Inside Herman's World, and you can find it on Coastal 181. It's about 10 years old now. Well, David didn't realize that I'm a fabricator and a mechanic first. Well, he took a liking to that, and we started conversing, conversation. And one thing led to another, and he said, I'm thinking about building dirt cars. And I said, well, if you build one, I'll buy it. We were talking about front-end geometry and spindles, and he kept telling me what I needed to do to my dirt car. And I said, damn it, why don't you build one? So that's how it started.
Wow.
And we race each other real well. You know, we stay off of each other. We don't go hitting each other. I'd say we're 50-50. I mean, I probably outrun him a little bit more than he's outrun me, but he can outrun me at any given time. And we struggled a little bit last year. So we had a little meeting of the mind, and we think it's the best bet if I run good too, you know, because he sells race cars. And, you know, if he wins, it's one thing. But if I win and somebody else wins, he's going to sell more cars.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's what we're trying to do. I want to win, and he does too. And in the same token, it's fun to sell more cars.
For sure. Kenny, you know, you posted a video, and I think it's pinned on your Twitter page for sure, right up at the top. But a couple weeks back, or I guess it was this week, this past week, 4 days ago, and you kind of went through and you put a spotlight on each of your sponsors. And of course, you've got a big name in racing, right? You've been there, done that. Every fan in racing, you know, knows who Kenny Wallace is. If they're a casual fan or if they're a hardcore fan, they know who Kenny Wallace is. You know, when you look at the amount of sponsorship on your car, you know, you always hear the local guy say, if I had more sponsorship, I'd do this, this, and this. Or if I would do, you know, if I had a big sponsor, maybe I could go here or there. But even the big name has to work his nuts off and get sponsors for his race car. You got over 22 partners, and I wanted to kind of spotlight that a little bit and talk about, you know, the model of sponsorship that you're noticing, the value that you're providing, and all of those things, because I think there's a lot of local listeners that don't really understand that even a guy like Kenny Wallace needs to find, you know, 15, 20 sponsors for his race car.
I'm well aware of that, and one thing that helped change that was when I did the podcast with Dale Earnhardt Jr. I created one of the quotes of the year, and everybody, if they go back and watch the Dale Jr. podcast, you know, it re-airs on NBCSN or it's on the podcast. And I tell Dale Jr., I said, doesn't it piss you off when people think that you're born shot in the ass with diamonds?
Yes.
So,
I love it.
So what happens is, into the Wallace family, we grew up very middle class. They're poor. So I cannot apologize to anybody for nothing.
No.
Because when we raced locally, we needed sponsorship too. But we never thought like that. And I think it's one of the reasons that we had success. It was never in our mind that if we had, we never dealt like that. In our brains, we never thought, well, if we had, we could. We just either stole it or got it. It's, you know, like The Rock says, if you want to do something, you'll figure out a way to do it. If you don't want to do something, you'll figure out a way not to do it. So I don't apologize for having sponsors. And you know, I give motivational speeches all around the United States. I just gave one in Kansas City, Missouri, to, the 56th race school. And the gentleman said, how do you get sponsors? And I told him this. If you want to get a sponsor, go around your local racetrack in your town. Find a company, whether it's a tire store, a parts store, whatever it is, and you walk in there, and you be prepared, and look nice, and say, hi, my name is Joe Duvall, and I'm a race car driver, and I'm looking for sponsorship, and I'd like to tell you how I can help you sell your product. One of the biggest mistakes that racers make is they go in and they say, will you sponsor me? That's not how it works. The sponsors want to hear how you are going to sell them products, sell their products, and make them money. So you don't ever ask for money first. For example, hi, my name is Joe Duvall. You know, I'm a race car driver. I run very competitive. I'd like to sell your product by placing your decal on my car. I'd like to come out every Saturday at noon, put my car on display for you. I have a great social media following. I'll constantly post about our relationship. And, you know, you tell them people how you're going to sell their product. Now, if you cannot sell their product, then it's going to be really hard to race. You know, one more thing. The great Roger Penske said this to me. I'll never forget it. When I was a kid, I was 16 years old, and I heard Roger Penske say, if we don't have a sponsor, we don't race. So, you know, you got to find money. You got to find money if you want a boat to go on the lake to go fish. You need money if you want a 12-gauge shotgun to go deer hunt. It takes money to buy food at the grocery store. We got to have money, damn it.
Yeah.
And if you make an excuse why you're not where you want to be, then you're making an excuse. So that's my story.
Well, and you know what, Kenny, you have earned every ounce of it. You do a dynamite job. Have you checked in, or has Schrader been checking in on you? Yeah, I can well imagine you guys are going to hook up at Volusia.
I've been spending every day with Kenny Schrader here lately.
How's the liver, then?
Has the liver light been blinking?
Kenny called me up about 5 days ago. I was very honored to win the Junie Dunleavy Spirit Award by the Eastern Motorsports, group over there in Pennsylvania. And Kenny brought me the award to my shop. And then last night, I was asked to be the MC of the Allied Auto Racing Banquet, and that is Kenny Schrader's track. So I was the MC, and Kenny Schrader was there last night. And, of course, you know, we'll be spending every night together here at Volusia. So, I've been seeing a lot of Schrader lately. I love being around Kenny.
Well, it'll be driving him nuts knowing that you're going to beat him to the track. I can bet that. He's one of those guys that can't wait to get to the speedway either.
Well, Kenny just had major right shoulder surgery, repairing his right shoulder. So he's going to have Sheldon Creed drive his dirt car at Volusia. But Kenny says right now that he should be ready to go by March. The weather's not too conducive in March when we head back up north, so he'll be bigger and better. He showed me last night he can get his arm, you know, about level now, so good timely surgery on our 65-year-old Kenny Schrader, a great race car driver. So I'm sure Schrader will be roaming the pits more than normal since he's going to have somebody else driving his car at Volusia.
Yeah, no sign of that guy slowing down at all. Same as you, Herm. You guys go full throttle every night, and that's what fans come to see. You got leftover T-shirts this year that are going to get blown out night number one at Volusia, or you got all the new stuff on board?
No, not this year. What I was doing there for a while, you know, I was spending $7,000-$8,000 to get a good price on, you know, lots of T-shirts. And, you know, you get to the very end of the year and you're still stuck with some T-shirts. So you remember those days. I appreciate that. I would sell my T-shirts for $5, $10 at Speedweeks, you know, last year's T-shirts. So, you know, I got to where I got older, got tired, didn't have any women with me, any good-looking girls to sell myself. So I handed all my souvenir sales over to Gerald Booten at GottaRace.com. They do a wonderful job. So I'm out of that industry now.
Well, it's all fresh gear then. If you want a Kenny Wallace shirt, you got to belly up and get it. At least you're going to get brand new stuff. But I always look forward to getting into the pits early on Speed Week so I could score myself one of those Kenny Wallace last year.
You're a cheapskate. You're a cheapskate.
No, I'm not cheap.
You waited until next year so Kenny would take a loss on
I'm thrift. Hey, listen, I bought a Kenny Wallace t-shirt at the flea market at Daytona. It happened to be one that he was in the Red Dog car, but I got a hell of a deal on it.
Hey, we were, it's crazy. You know, t-shirts are going for $20, $25. I'd sell those things for like, you know, $10 and, man, oh man, they would just be gone, and you know, we'd sell them so cheap that people, if they didn't want to wear them, hell, they'd buy them, cut them up for rags. So it was good.
Yeah, no kidding, Kenny. This is great. This has been great. We really appreciate the time tonight on Race Time. I know you guys are on your way down there. We all envy you. We all can't wait to get down there. 24 hours of Daytona today. Wayne Taylor and his Cadillac go. And they go out there and win overall. Looked like beautiful weather at Daytona. Looks like you're going into some good stuff.
I believe so. On another note, real quick, we're just now passing the Clarksville Speedway at Clarksville, Tennessee. But, yeah, I'm excited about the weather. It is going to be chillier than normal. Looks like what I see is, you know, high in the 60s, 68 degrees, which is a little cooler than normal. Low in the 40s down there in Daytona. But look, we're leaving 40-degree weather, so we'll gladly take 25 degrees warmer. We're not going to complain about it. So, yeah, we still got our jackets. It gets pretty cold at night down in Florida.
Well, you just throw on that I'm an IWK 250 champion jacket, and you'll be just fine. I know you will, buddy.
Listen, I really, really enjoyed myself in Canada over the last couple of years. You know, the last track was Ucasa. Of course, you know, Donald Chisholm's family, you know, up there in Antigonish. Riverside Speedway, those people have become my family. They are wonderful. I've had so much fun running the Riverside Speedway over the last 2 years. And, you know, we went up to a lot of different tracks, Full Throttle Speedway there. So we spent a lot of time in Canada over the last couple of years.
Well, with any luck at all, we'll get you back up on this side of the border through the summer, and we'll have a bunch more fun. But you concentrate on that Speed Weeks. I want to see some victories, and Junior and I want to get you on here as a winner down there at Volusia through Speed Weeks. How's that sound?
Sounds like an awesome deal to me. We're working hard on it.
You betcha, Herm. You have a good one, and everybody follow Herm on Twitter, at Kenny Wallace. You got to do it just to guess. Kenny, thanks so much for the drive-by, buddy.
All right, good Sunday night, everybody.
You betcha. That is Kenny Wallace. He's getting ready for Speed Weeks, like everybody is, Junior. Now that the 24 hours is done, I'm telling you, race juices are flying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everybody's fired up. You know, it's the Rolex, you know, it crept up on us this year. Man.
Sure, it did.
It came out of nowhere.
And,
yeah, no, it's only, you know, a couple weeks we're going to be hearing, you know, the sounds of drafting practice again, and the real excitement starts. Not that it's not exciting, the Rolex stuff. Don't get me wrong, road course guys, but
right.
I will say this about that. Stock car racing's better.
Ah, there you go. Showing your true colors. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the GM of the fastest racetrack in all of Canada. We got Alex Nagy coming up from Ducasse Motor Speedway on the other side of this break.
Hi, my name is Andrew Ranger. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Baby,
hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
What are your pleasures? What do you like to do?
Oh, I don't know. Play chess. Screw.
Well, let's play chess.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Great hearing from Kenny Wallace here. Man, Speed Weeks is upon us, or just about. It's getting closer anyway, and that's what we all love to hear. But I'll tell you, big, big announcement that came out, I believe it was Thursday or Friday last week. With Jukasa Motor Speedway, we're all looking for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. We know now when they're going to be, September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So you want to make sure you get your tickets and get that marked on the calendar. You don't want to miss that weekend. And to talk more about that, what do you say we grab the GM from Jukasa Motor Speedway? We have Alex Nagy with us. Alex, how are you tonight, buddy?
Great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Hey, good news. We got that final date. We're all looking forward to that, bud.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a secret. I mean, it's our third annual. We've been on that date now for 2 years prior to this. So, you know, I think for the most part, everybody knew. To be honest, we were just trying to determine the best approach with us being doubled up against NASCAR, which was unfortunate. So, you know, we just moved things ahead a little bit to try to compensate for that and, you know, try to make it so the fans will have the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. Last time I checked, there is no lights at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. It's just going to mean for a dynamite weekend. It's not like you're in northern Ontario and CTMP is down south. It's not that far between the two. Fans should be able to enjoy both.
Yeah, I believe so. And, you know, I think that's the hope. I have no idea what CTMP is thinking. but for us, you know, we wanted to be a bit proactive. And, yeah, listen, I understand that the Truck Series date was announced a long time ago, but that didn't change anything we were doing. We did not announce ours because of that. It's just, you know, we are on schedule to announce when we announced. But so we're just trying to, you know, change our end up a little bit because of that unfortunate situation and make it so that the fans win still.
Absolutely, Alex. Your phone, or at least the Speedway phone, had to have been lighting up the yesterday, or was that earlier today, when young Stephen Nassy and Mr. Pollard got together at Gresham. And by the look of it, man, the war is on, and it starts right at the beginning of the year. Those two guys making contact, not good for either one, but it looked like hard racing to me.
Yeah, I think the initial deal was a hard racing incident, and it's, you know, listen, we've all been there. I've been there myself. You always blame the other guy, and then you look at video and maybe change your mind a little bit. But at the end of the day, good for us. Hopefully, you know, both of them have made mention that their intention is to come to the Canadian Short Track Nationals, which, you know, amongst everybody else, listen, let's be honest, the best late model drivers in North America are going to be in Hagersville, Ontario on Labor Day weekend, just like the last previous 2 years, and it's going to be something to see.
Man, you're not kidding, and you're kicking it up another notch if it was even possible to do it. But this time around, how about $500,000 in purse money? You guys are crazy, man. That's huge.
We are crazy, absolutely. And you're right, it's $500,000 purse, $175,000 to win, $4,000 to start. And, you know, and it's not just our intention to get U.S. guys to come. You know, there's guys that have been an hour from us and didn't come to the race. You know, we want our Canadian folks. We get great support from the Maritimes, from Western Canada, from Quebec, from Ontario. We want the Canadians to think this is their big deal. And it just happens to be that the U.S. guys come to try to spoil their fun. So, you know, for us, we want all the Canadian guys that can make it, because for us personally at UCASA, we love it because we know 100% that we have as much talent here as anywhere else in North America. And for me, I just love to be able to show the world that our guys can compete. And I think you're seeing that. And I think our guys up here are starting to realize. And, you know, I think it showed at the All-American 400 in Nashville this fall, where we had more Canadians go down there and compete probably than the last quite some time. And it's because they have all raced against all these guys now and realize they're just racers like the rest of us, and they can compete.
Absolutely, they are. And you know what? It's through premier events, Alex, like what you're putting on there, and the IWK 250, and there's a bunch of real key events. And when drivers turn up at those, they are racing against the best, and they sure figure out in a hurry that, hey, I can compete. And you know what? Each year they seem to get a little bit quicker and a little bit more in tune. And really, they're going up against guys that race on a full-time basis, and that's a tough order to try and beat.
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Alex, what do we got for a lineup this year? I know we got, of course, the big Pro Late Model 250. We'll see the Super Late Models again. What else have we got lined up on the great around the Canadian Short Track Nationals weekend?
Yeah, I guess, you know, in a roundabout way, all the events have been announced by various series. But you know, we have we'll kick it off again with the NASCAR Pinty Series. I think anybody that's seen on TV or was in our seats live at the finale, the Pinty's Fall Brawl last September, saw, you know, a heck of a race. And they're not going to, you know, June 6th, it's not going to be any different. So hopefully everybody comes out to see that with the Oscar Hot Rods and the Oscar Modifieds. We have, you know, a car show we do with this group called No Club. It'll be our third year in June. And then we'll have two APC late model races again this year. One of them is going to be on a Thursday night again. We did the Thursday night thing last year, August 13th. It's going to be a cool event again. And I think there's going to be a little bit of a twist to the race format there. And I can't really say much more right now, but ourselves and APC are talking about something for teams and for the fans. So hopefully in the next 1 to 2 weeks, we'll be able to announce kind of what we're going to do a little bit different with the race itself there.
I mean, not to be selfish or anything, but you should leak it right now. I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it if you do.
Yeah, I would, Junior, but we just haven't got enough finalized of the details to be able to. Things could change, and I'd hate to sound like I'm giving out bad info. So,
I was just giving you a hard time.
ISMA Super Modifieds again are coming back. They've worked with the folks at Oswego and have made it so it's not a head-to-head schedule conflict this year, feeling that they'll have a heck of a field. So that's really exciting for us. You know, those things are unbelievable at our place, 150, 60 miles an hour. It's unbelievable. So a lot of the same as far as stock car racing goes, which is great. We are working on a couple of different events that are going to be different for us, different for our fans, and maybe even in some cases a bit of a different fan base. And that is late August, we'll have a big All-Star Monster Truck Tour event. standalone event, not with the racers. It'll be just a big monster truck tour with a stunt show. And then a real cool thing we've been working on in August, it's going to be August 8th weekend. It's going to be the Jucasa Festival of Bikes, and we're going to have a fifth round of the Flat Track Canada National Tour. That's going to be a TT race, part asphalt, part dirt. And then now that thing has, you know, gained a bunch of legs, and it's turned into a festival. We're going to have a freestyle motocross show, street stunt riders, huge midway with OEMs. We've met with OEMs once. We've got another meeting in February. Looks like we're going to have a bunch of motorcycle OEMs on site with customer rides, with a whole pile of vendors and some music and some beer and some food and all that cool stuff. So, you know, just trying to create more events for our fans and some different stuff. And, you know, even with all the stock car races, we haven't announced our schedule as a whole yet because we're just trying to tweak a few little things here and there, which we've got a bit of time, you know, a week or two, because at the same time, we're working on a brand new automated ticketing system in conjunction with a new website launch. So we've got a million things going on, nothing finished, but I can tell you that it's going to be something else once we announce this, all this stuff.
Alex, obviously last year's, each one of the, national events have been spectacular, and they're growing. There's obviously a step forward each and every year. But with that, definitely comes challenges. So looking at last year, obviously the weather was not on your side because it went a day later. But what was on the improvement list for you, or not necessarily improvement, but maybe differences or improvements or things like that? What is on the list that's going to be different heading into this Canadian Short Track Nationals weekend in 2020?
So we're working on a bunch of different things to create not a different atmosphere, Joe, but trying to increase the atmosphere of the midway, if you will, for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. I think that's the race you're referring to, or just in general?
Yeah, just the Nationals. Obviously, each and every weekend you guys do a different platform, but I mean on the national side.
So that's fair. I mean, the Nationals, I mean, obviously, I don't, you know, like the IWK 250, that's Donald's huge deal. You know, this event's growing into obviously our huge marquee event, but that doesn't slight anything else that we do for sure. But, you know, as it increases, you know, we've had 56 or something cars the first year. Last year we had 66, I think it was, that were on site. This year I expect we'll have more. You know, part of that is the purse, absolutely, but the other side of that is the racing is incredible. The fans and the competitors, you don't get those competitors to come race with you if you don't have a facility they love to race at. I don't care what the money is, as you know. And so we're excited about that, and we feel that our numbers will increase again this year as far as competitors go, and I think some different ones. You know, like I say, Stephen Nassy had thought about coming the last couple of years. This year, it's on his tentative schedule on his website. He's indicated that it's one on his list. That's just another addition. I know the guys in the Maritimes, I've talked to a bunch of them already. They're heading. I'm sure we're going to have a nice group of supporters from the west side. But the key is just trying to, you know, what we're going to do as far as logistics goes. Thursday will be a move-in for the pro-late models plus an optional inspection day, which will take the heat off of Ricky Brooks and his crew, because to do it all Saturday plus practice was, with the numbers increasing, was starting to be a real hard time for
solid
those folks
move.
To,
solid
to make
move.
It happen. So we'll get a bunch of stuff inspected, sealed up on Thursday. That'll make Friday. Right now we've got four practice sessions for the Pro Late Models slated in amongst the Outlaw Super Late Models and the Super Stocks, a little bit of a different calendar this year. And then the Oscar Hot Rods will be with the Pro Late Models on the Saturday. And, you know, you two both know, and our fans know, that one of the big events at the old Tioga Speedway for years was the Maple Leaf 250. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our late model race is 250 laps. So actually this year, you know, the Canadian Short Track Nationals is our event. The Pro Late Model race will be the Maple Leaf 250.
Wow.
That's cool. That's the way to do it, man. That's going to be very exciting stuff. And you'll have to stay tuned, Alex. I was just back and forth here with Stephen Nassy. And actually, Stephen's going to join us here at the top of the hour. He's going to step in. We'll have to ask him about the Canadian Short Track Nationals.
We'll hold him over the coals for sure for you.
Put him right over there and we'll find out.
Just like
what
I did to you.
Is.
You know, just like I did to you, we'll hold him right over the coals.
Absolutely. Listen, he knows we'd love to have him. He's a heck of a competitor, man. And I know our guys from Canada, just like being able to race with guys like Bubba and Eddie McDonald and all those guys, our guys would love to, you know, show what they've got against a guy like Steven. And, you know, he'd fit right in for sure with our group and with our fans. Our fans love him. You know, there's Nassy T-shirts in our grandstands. He knows that. You can tell him that. And, you know, absolutely. And then, you know, maybe that Bubba Nassy deal can come into play. Maybe we'll have to put a bounty on Bubba this year since he won the first two. Maybe we'll have to put a bounty on his head for the third annual Canadian Short Track Nationals. Stay posted. Stay tuned on that one.
Ah, that would be fun, too. And you're going to get guys like Jason Hathaway all excited to be there if you start doing stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Incredible. Alex, when we look at the Short Track Nationals, we look at the Speedway, we look at everything that's been going on, it's been a busy few years for you. And I know you still had some things that you wanted to get done at the racetrack. How's everything else progressing? And is it going to be a real busy spring for you, too?
Yeah, you're right. It's been a whirlwind, you know. And of course, a huge part of the construction was early. And about 15, 16 feet of extension put on the back of each grandstand section right now. All the steel structure itself is up, completed. We're working with a different group now that's going to come in and do the handrails, the seat brackets for the aluminum benching. Even though the weather hasn't been wintry down, you know, in our area, it's been so wet and everything else. So it's still been a real hassle to try to get a lot of stuff done. But the huge part of the project has been all up, just finished before Christmas, all the structures up. So now, you know, our hope is to get these new top seven rows put in place, you know, hopefully before we open, if not long after that. Also, something that, you know, our fans don't see per se, but although at the Pinty's Fall Brawl last year, maybe they did see it when we had a generator failure, and we've got a brand new three-phase hydro service coming in. You know, that's taken a year and a half of planning and approvals, and we are probably 70% through that project right now. Hydro One is just finished with the final switch that they've got to do. It's all calibrated. So our electricians are coming back in hopefully this week, weather permitting. And we'll get back on that too. So yeah, we've got, you know, you can only get so much done, but we've got a lot of stuff on the go and, you know, and trying to keep the promotion side and the scheduling and everything else in check as well.
Well, Rome wasn't built in a day, and the same goes true with Jocasa, but you guys have done wonders in a short period of time, and I know fans are excited to see what is next. You guys always seem to come up with something. Fan amenity-wise, racer competitive, those guys are being well taken care of. The fans, I know, are looking forward to absolutely everything you have to offer. It's going to be cool. Are you heading down south? Are you going down to Speed Weeks?
You know what? I made the decision late last week that it's eaten me up, to be honest, but I'm not going to go. We've got so many things going on that I think that 5 to 7 days, even though I can do some of it from down there, I think that 5 to 7 days, just with everything we've got, that's all going to happen. There's a bunch of things with website and ticketing and a bunch of different, some workers, a bunch of things that's going to happen here all in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I just, you know, I think my time's better spent here.
You know what? You don't get your homework done in the winter. You don't get it done in the summer. So, you know what? You gotta do what you gotta do. There's nothing wrong with that, Alex, because you know it's gonna be it's gonna pay dividends down the road. It's gonna be a great time at Speed Weeks. I am still on the fence sitting here. I'm waiting for some results to come back. As soon as I get them, then maybe I'll make a decision on where I go from there. But I hear you. It's always a great time at Speed Weeks, but I've had to miss the last 3 years of it. And I tell you what, it drives me crazy each and every time I got to miss it.
I hear you. I hope your results come back really good, Joe. And I hope you go, but don't tell me until you're there so I can't come with you.
You betcha. Alex, this has been great catching up with you, man. Truly great news for absolutely everybody. And you got fans excited. Look at this. It's only January, and things are all coming together for 2020. Isn't that cool?
It's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. We can't thank you enough for the time, bud. You have a good one, and I know we'll get you back on. We're intrigued now to find out what this twist is that you guys got coming out.
Yeah, and don't forget about that bounty on Bubba.
Ah, yeah. Right.
Hey, I see that there might be even some added bonus, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yep. 10-4. Also, on the back end, if you could ask Kenny, I know there's two spotters that have gigs for both, if he could, you know, send us the helicopter over to CTMP and then back and forth just twice. That would be
that.
I'm talking about Jeff Gottler,
yeah,
of course, right?
Yeah,
Steven Simmons.
Listen, is
too.
Is their helicopter big enough for JG?
Hey man, I'll hang off the side. He can hang off the side. We'll be all right.
Yeah, you don't want much, Junior. Can I use a helicopter? Or will you put an elevator in?
Oh, no, I already know the elevator's not coming for a little bit, but it's next. It's next. We can kibosh the elevator and just go with the helicopter just for this time.
I'll get on it.
Yeah. Alex, this
thanks
has been
in
great,
advance.
Buddy. You have a good one tonight, and good job, man.
My pleasure. Thanks. Anytime.
You've had Alex Nagy from Jukasa Motor Speedway. Things really coming together nicely for 2020. It's going to be a busy, busy weekend. Come that September Labor Day. Quick break. When we come back, we got Stephen Assey's going to join us tonight, too.
Busy program.
We have got a real busy one. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Dave McCullough, and you're listening to your Race Time Radio.
Logano's in the wall. He'll slide up, and he'll slam on the paper bear, and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Busy, busy schedule, and we got some great news right at the end of last week. I'll tell you what, I've been waiting to see this news for, it seems like since last year, but I did get it. We got Alex Labbe going to jump behind the wheel of the number 36, the DGM car. He's back with Mario Gosselin. They're heading for Daytona, and we got him on the hotline. What's going on, Alex? How you doing, man?
And the Zumba, are you guys?
Fantastic, man. I can't tell you how excited I was when I seen this news that you're going to be back behind the wheel of the 36 at Daytona. This is great news.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm pretty excited, too. We've been working on that for a while. We're just trying to find a way to make it happen and make it beneficial for us in DGM Racing. And I'm really, really excited for Daytona, for sure. I think we're going to have a good run, and we hope we can suck up in the draft and have a good end result there.
Well, and you've got your teammate to work with, too, right? We had Josh Williams on just last week. He's going to drive the 92 car. Now there's two of yous out there. That makes a difference, right?
Yeah, DGM is going to have a three-car operation for the first time, so it's going to be pretty exciting. It's going to be me, Josh in the 92, and there's going to be Caesar in the 90. So now it's going to be a big weekend for DGM, and I hope we can work good together and have a solid finish.
Yeah, and Alex, I can't stress, and maybe you can, the importance of getting back to a track that you have raced on. Now, you've got a history with the NASCAR Xfinity Series, of course, finishing up 20th overall in points in 2018. You've been to all these tracks, and now getting back to Daytona with a notebook has really got to be good news. You know what to expect.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been in Daytona twice in 2018. I haven't been there last year. I only went to Talladega in April. But, I mean, plate racing is like a whole different world. You gotta find your happy spot. You gotta find a good partners to draft with and just to get some good runs. But it's always a really fun challenge. But can't wait to go back on the I-Banks in Daytona, especially for the February race when you start the year there. Everybody's, excited. It's the beginning of a new season. So, it should be a lot of fun.
And the first few times that you go to Daytona, of course, is very daunting, too, right? You got to try and fit in. I know, Alex, you as a racer, you want to earn respect, which you have amongst your peers now in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. They know when the 36 is beside them or around them that they don't have to worry. You're not going to pull a boneheaded move. And all those are key now. When you go in there, you've got the respect, and there's going to be guys working with you that may not have worked with you in the past, and that is all good news.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the more you're there, the more you're trying to stay clean, you're trying to respect everybody around you. It helps, especially when it comes to those tracks like we were talking about, because you really need to work with other guys, because you can't do anything by yourself. It's all about teamwork. So, no, it should be fun. But like I said to you earlier, it's a whole different world out there. A lot of aspects to take in consideration, all the draft, the side draft, the runs and all that stuff. You need a really good spotter in the tower, and you need to cooperate really good with your team.
And speaking of that, who are you going to have as a spotter? I know Tad was with you for a while there. Is he back with you for Daytona?
No, Tad has been with Junior Motorsport. He was with Junior Motorsport last year, and he re-signed with Junior, so he's not going to be with us. We were not sure yet who was going to be my spotter. Spotter yet for Daytona, but I'm sure. I mean, Mario's really dedicated to his team. He puts a lot of effort in all the small details. So I'm sure he's gonna try to work something out so we can have the best spotter possible for Daytona for sure.
And will Mario be on top of the box for the 36 car, or is he gonna be sort of bouncing between three different boxes?
Yeah, we haven't spoke about it yet. Well, I mean, he's going to be there. He's going to be around for sure. He's going to be close. He's always close when I'm down there. Even if last year he was not my crew chief, he was always really close to help me, to guide me through the day and through the weekend. But we haven't really decided who's going to be on top of the box yet.
We're with Alex Labbe. He will drive the number 36 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Daytona, getting prepared for Speed Weeks right now. Alex, in preparations for Daytona, you've got ready for this track in the past. How will you get ready to go for this big race?
I think it's a lot about it's a lot about videos. You just got to watch all the previous races. It's tough because the NASCAR changes their aero package and they change a lot of stuff yearly. Like every year, the cars are always a little different, so they don't always draft the same, but at the end of the day, you want to make plans. You want to know. You want to study out how to approach a race, but at the end of the day, it's all about gut feeling. It's all about how you feel it on a track. You just gotta suck up with guys that your car likes to suck up to, and just try to find the most speed out of it. Cause, I don't know, you can have the lead with two to go and finish P22nd. So that's what's really tough about those plate races. But I think, like I said, it's a lot about gut feeling. It's a lot about studying through the race. You just gotta find a way, I guess. Just gotta find a way to make it happen there in the last couple laps. That's how it works down there.
Yeah, gut, strategy, all of it comes into play at Daytona. Throw the kitchen sink in. You'll need it as well. Sponsorship on the 36. Have you got her lettered up for this race?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to have Globalcam, Russo. So the sponsors we had at the end of the year last year at Olmsted with Festi Dragon, Hotel La Concorde. That's going to be our sponsors for the three races we already announced. That's Daytona and Olmsted, and we're going to be at Loudon 2 in the middle of the summer. But we're still working on a lot of stuff. We're just trying to have as much starts as we can this year. I mean, we've been working on going full time for a while. We're not there yet, but we haven't stopped working.
Now, you'll never quit. I know you'll never quit at it, bud. And you keep your nose to that grindstone. It will pay. Hard work and determination always pays. So does results. And I got a feeling, I got a real good feeling, that you and Josh are going to get some huge results this time at Daytona. I don't know what it is, but something's telling me that you guys would be a good pair of numbers to take in a pro line for Daytona. This is going to be good.
Yeah, also that's what we're working on. Josh, a really good plate racer, and Mario and the whole DGM crew, they're working so hard. They're just always trying to get better and better. We've got new motors for Daytona. We got new stuff, and we're always there to get better. And Mario's a real tough racer, so he's always working in that direction too. So it's pretty exciting. I'm really looking forward to Daytona. I think it should be a really fun weekend.
Well, you made it more exciting for all of us up here in Canada. I can guarantee you that. Alex, safe travels getting down to Daytona. And I know we look forward to getting you back on the show after that big race. It's going to be dynamite, buddy.
No problem. Anytime. Thanks, Joe, for calling.
You bet. That is Alex Labbe. Watch for him in that 36 car, Junior. He is going to be good. I know he can get results. He's going to be good at Daytona this year.
Yeah, for sure. I've been talking to Mario over the past couple weeks on a couple of different things, and they are so dedicated to making it work with Alex Labbe. They have so much faith in both Josh and Alex.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They're both extremely good talents. They both bring the car home straight at the end of the race weekend, and, you know, they're both – you know, stand-up individuals in the garage area and out of the garage area. So, obviously, Alex has got talent coming out the eyes. He could drive a race car. Any race car that you've ever put him in, he will go out there and overachieve in that race car without putting the race car in jeopardy. Just a great cat, and obviously, we're fans of Alex Labbe,
sure,
right?
It's, sure, we are.
As Canadians, as race fans, as people here, we can't wish them anything but the best, and I can't wait to see what they can put together. A lot of Canadian involvement down there for Daytona.
We're hearing
lots of different names. You know, it's only a few years back where one guy was going down.
Yep.
And now, you know, you've got Stuart Friesen full-time in a Toyota truck, and you've got, the likes of Dominique Van Weergen in an ARCA car. You've got Jason White, who we're going to be talking to soon, and of course, seeing Alex Labbe, you know, turn numbers down there as well. Just a ton of Canadian involvement.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I can tell you that. We got lots more to come tonight, but we got to throw it back to Toronto. Get you up to date on your news, and that only takes 90 seconds, and then Junior and I are back for hour number two. We're going to kick it off with Stephen Nassy. He had a busy weekend. He's going to join us on the other side of this news, and we will continue. Stay with us. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back here tonight.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio. With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight live on Racetime Radio. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Coming up this hour, you're going to hear from Stephen Nassi in just a few moments. We're going to grab him, get him on the hotline. He was at Speed Fest this weekend. Didn't quite turn out the way Stephen Nassi wanted it, but we'll talk to him about that race and more. We've also got Geneva Sheffield coming up. She is a young dirt racer that was awarded the Lady of the Ovals sponsorship this year. If you don't know what that is, stay tuned. We'll tell you all about it. And then before we close the hour out, we have Jason White from Sun Peaks, BC. He's getting ready to go for Daytona as well. The Lucas Oil 200, the ARCA Menards Series, is what Jason will kick Speed Weeks off with. And we'll be talking to him about that here tonight on the show. Junior, one thing that I want to just share with everybody now is a little gold nugget that I found in our archives. Looking back, and I knew I had it in there, I just couldn't remember the exact date. So I had to go through quite a few files to find it. But I did find it last weekend. You'll know that it was the Chili Bowl. And it was Kyle Larson that went to Victory Lane. And that is his first Chili Bowl win. This is, I want to say it was 8 tries or 9 tries.
More than that, I think.
No. It was 8 or 9 tries for Kyle. Yeah. And he finally went to Victory Lane in the Chili Bowl.
A lot of controversy as well, right? Like after the Chili Bowl,
yeah,
Kyle Larson got out of the car and said, "Sorry, NASCAR, this is my biggest win."
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And a lot of controversy, a lot of hurt feelings from the NASCAR fans.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people defending Kyle Larson as well.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It would be,
he is a dirt guy through and through. And this is the beauty of this little interview that we got with Kyle. This is dating back to 2007. It was Racetime Radio's first year on the air.
Yep.
And there was an article done in Sports Illustrated about this 15-year-old kid out of California.
Yep.
And we thought, wouldn't that be a cool story? Let's try and get a hold of that kid. And we did, and his name was Kyle Larson. And we actually we did an interview with him. And I think, well, I do believe all the listeners would really enjoy having to listen to it. I'm going to play for you now. It's only 4 minutes long,
yeah,
about 4 or 5 minutes. And I want to let you know that it's Fred Wallace and Bob Sanders were my two partners at the time when Racetime Radio first started up. There was three of us. It was Fred Wallace, Bob Sanders, and myself. And that's who you're going to hear in this interview, along with Kyle Larson. I go play it for you now. Have a listen to this.
Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Good, good. It's good to hear your voice tonight. What are you doing from a race standpoint right here today out in California?
Well, we've been preparing for our first race this weekend at Placerville. We just got our engine back 2 weeks ago, so we've been cramming.
Okay, so this is going to be your first race out, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah, first one this season or the first time in a World of Outlaw car?
Oh, first time this season.
Yeah.
It's not the first World of Outlaw race.
Right.
I think our first World Outlaw race this year will be the Gold Cup.
Oh, very good.
So you're 15 years old, Kyle.
Yeah.
So are you the youngest that's running in World of Outlaws right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm the youngest, but I'm not really a World of Outlaw driver. I'm just I was just approved to run with them a couple of times last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by having said that, how big an accomplishment is that? Because a year ago you would have been 14. So tell us how that came to be and tell us what your heartbeat rate was when you got into the car, Kyle.
For my first race?
Yeah, for your first World of Outlaws experience. One, how did you get to that level? Because a lot of guys, a lot older and a lot more experienced than you, will never get there. So tell us how that came to be and tell us what it was like to participate.
Well, I started racing outlaw carts when I was 7 years old and just progressed my way into the sprint car. And then my first race was with the Outlaws, was in Chico for the Gold Cup. And it was just really nerve-wracking because I'm parked next to Danny Lozowski and then out there with Donnie Schatz and all
that. Asking for his autograph.
How did you do against them, Kyle?
I was in the C main, but I was one spot away from the transfer and spun out, so it ended my night.
So, you, of course, looking at a big season, what are your plans for this year? What races do you plan on participating in with the World of Outlaws?
Well, we don't really know what our schedule is yet, but I'm pretty sure we're going to run the Gold Cup in Chico in September with the Outlaws. But other than that, I don't really know what races with the Outlaws are running.
So you'll be in your dirt sprint car running somewhere on a weekly base?
I'm not sure yet. We don't really have a schedule.
So at 15, I mean, you probably live and breathe. Is that what you think about every day pretty much outside of school? Is racing.
Yeah.
So where do you want to be? Like where are you hoping to develop as a career in racing, Kyle?
Well, just like every other young driver, I'd like to get to NASCAR, but if that doesn't work out, then I just like to run with the Outlaws or the USAC non-wing series, cuz I really would like to run some more non-wing stuff cuz that's what all the scouts look for to get into NASCAR, so that's where all the driver development programs start, and I just like to do that.
You talk about every other young driver. You've got to be the youngest of the young, certainly at an elite field. What's the reaction been to your participation, both from your peer group, your friends and your buddies, and what's the reaction been from other drivers when they look over and see a guy who's in grade 10?
Well, most of my young buddies are racing sprint cars now, so they thought it was really cool when I started out. But the older guys in the beginning, I think they might have been a little nervous with a 14-year-old out there. But after a few races, I think I earned their respect from finishing up front a few times.
Now, you had an article or a photo in Sports Illustrated back a little while ago. How did that feel?
Well, it didn't really mean much to me at first, but I got a lot of recognition from it, and people were calling me and asking me how I got in there. And so,
which is how we found out about you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how you landed on our show.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's your first big race coming up? Finally, before we go here tonight, what's your first big event coming up out there in California?
Well, I'm still not sure, but we are for sure that we're going to run this weekend at Placerville.
All right. Kyle, thanks for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Isn't that cool? That's
pretty
a
cool.
Real young Kyle Larson back in the day. So don't think he's going to.
He called his shot. Yeah. He called his shot.
He did, didn't he?
He called his shot. He's 15 years old, and, you know, it's pretty cool to see a dream like that come true, you know?
And back in those days, back in 2007, we were just getting started out. I knew about short track oval racing, but I wasn't no expert in dirt. I can tell you that, and I'm still no expert in dirt. But we took for granted that he was a World of Outlaw driver.
Yeah.
And, you know, we learned in there that he was qualified to run with the World of Outlaws when they come through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a really cool story. You know, from there, you know, he was on Racetime Radio all the way up until the point of being in Cup. You know,
yeah. He was. We had him after his first truck win.
Yep.
We had him. I had him at Daytona
after his first K&N win.
Yes, that was at the Battle at the Beach. After his, you okay? I had him after his first Xfinity win. We had him on the air, And, yeah, we didn't get him after that. He outgrew us, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. He's just a great story. I remember being at New Smyrna when he was just jumping in a late model for Tim Russell.
That was the first time he was behind the wheel of a late model.
Of an asphalt car.
Yeah.
On anything asphalt. That was it was pretty cool to see him out there ripping around, and he did good. You know, he was really sporty right out of the box, and of course Tim Russell's car and equipment was no slouch. He was really good in it, but just a great cat.
Yeah, and look where Kyle Larson is today.
Pretty neat.
That's too cool. We're gonna hit a quick break. When we come back from this break, we are gonna have Stephen Nassy on. He was at Speed Fest this weekend. We'll talk all about Speedfest. We'll lean on him and see if we can count on him for the Canadian Short Track Nationals this year at UCASA. A bounty? Well, we'll ask him. We'll find out. We'll see what happens here. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never going to win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
There we go, little kid bringing us back off the break. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Back to the hotline we go. And we'll bring in a guy that, man, he worked hard this weekend. He drives the number 51 super late model down south. His name's Stephen Nassy. What's going on there, Stephen? How you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Not bad. Man, oh, man. You got no luck, kid.
Yeah, man, tell me about it. It's, been tough these days.
But also, it's
been good.
I looked at Twitter. I've been watching Twitter. Of course, we're up here in Canada. We didn't get a chance to get down to Speedfest. But you got involved in one today. It was for the lead. You and Bubba Pollard got together.
Yesterday.
You guys went for a spin. What happened?
Well, here's the deal. We had a restart, and, I mean, it was probably, whatever, 15, 20 to go. He was on the, I gave him the outside. I took the bottom first time. And we hadn't had a restart in a little bit. So I was just trying out the bottom. I tried the outside before, and it didn't work. I went to the bottom this time. He had kind of beat me on the restart, you know, was able to kind of hold me down, just get better drive off in the top. Luckily, a caution come out that lap because he cleared me down the back straightaway, but we didn't make it back to the start line before we finished the lap. So I got the lead back. Then I chose the outside, of course, and, you know, I was holding him down on the bottom. And, you know, first off, I gave him plenty of room. I mean, we didn't touch, you know, and when I was on the bottom of him, I didn't touch him. You know, I gave him the top, and that's why he was able to get around me. The first lap, you know, we both didn't get into each other, but then after that, you know, he started leaning into me more and more, you know, getting in the corner. And in the video, you know, some it might look like, you know, I'm chopping him, but you just got to pay attention because, you know, he's not turning in the corner. I mean, I'm turning in like you're supposed to, and he's just staying in his lane. And, you know, so we kept on getting into each other. He ran me off the back straightaway one time. You know, there's no wall around that track, so I had two right sides off in the dirt. I had to slam back into him to get back on the track. And then he ended up getting a spot from me when he came in front of me. I mean, all I did, I mean, that guy rubbed my left side off, basically, and tapped me in the left rear more than once, and I saved it. I mean, I had multiple people get into me. I was completely sideways at a point in that race and a point in the pro race. I didn't spin out. I barely touched this guy, and he spins out. I mean, barely. And, yeah, I touched him because I wanted to stay right there with him. I mean, if I wanted to dump him, it would look way worse than that. I mean, on the video, you see, I mean, I barely touched him. It looks like he was going to save it, but then he just loops around real quick. You know, it starts off real slow, and any driver knows. I mean, I think I would have saved that. I mean, I don't know. But then he loops around, and what I think is that he thought that I was going to get sent to the rear and he would keep the spot up front.
Nah.
Well, it didn't work out that way. We both get sent to the rear. He's riding behind me. You know, of course, I thought, you know, about him wrecking me. He's trying to wreck me into the inside wall. Didn't make that happen. We come around off of two. He just hits me in the rear, in the left rear, spins me around, and then pulls in the pit. And, you know, I mean, after that, you know, I think everybody's seen. But I just don't get it, you know, man. He couldn't pass me clean. When he was going to pass me on the outside, I didn't get in there and touch him. He was leaning all over me, getting in the corners, and just making it tough on me. So, you know, I believe we had a good car. I mean, a dominant car. We come from last to first, you know, came, took the car out of the line after qualifying, worked on it, brought it back in. We had the lead by lap, I think it was like 60, blown by him, not even trying to run hard. So, I mean, we were destined to win that one, but it just didn't work out.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I watching the videos, and I'll tell you what. Anybody that has watched, you know, a one-sided video will look at something and say, you know what, the 51 car took him out, and it looks like it in one look. But I did look at another video that was an in-car shot, and I'll tell you what, Stephen, I hear exactly what you're saying. There was contact. It looked like the 26 car was going to be just fine, and then for some reason there is distance between the two, and all of a sudden he looped it.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me, too.
Man, I'll tell you, in the beginning of that pro race, and I mean, I'm not mad at the guy at all, the 43 car, you know, Daniel Dye, and I had talked to him. He's a rookie, and, you know, he came up to me before the race trying to strategize because he just didn't want to race. You know, he wanted to be able to get back and cool his tires off or save his tires and be there at the end. Well, I told him, just go, you know, as hard as you can there at the start. You know, whatever happens, don't try to hold back. I said, but whatever you do, make sure you heat up them tires getting in the corner. Or make sure you heat up the tires before we get going green. Because it's cold out, you know. I mean, it's the track's cold, cars are cold, everything's cold.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, all right. Well, you know, sure enough, he didn't heat up the tires good enough. And first lap, I mean, he goes in there and I mean, hooks me good. And, I mean, I thought it was all done, but... You know, I mean, we come out of it. And, I mean, I've had plenty of good saves. And as amount of wins that guy has, I mean, he should have saved that. I mean, I didn't pile drive him. I mean, I didn't blatantly just go in there, I mean, over my head and do it. I just had to do that to get to him, and I wanted to tap him. That way I could be there with him off the straightaway. You know, I didn't want him to lead me off that corner. And that's what was about to happen, and I would have had to work to get back to him. And I might not have had enough time, you know.
I tell you what, Stephen Nassy, you have – a knack for, obviously, for excitement at the racetrack, but you have a knack for polarizing the fan base. And that's the mark of a great driver. You know, when you've got the ability to have 50% of the fans say the 51 wrecked him and 50% of the fans to say, no, he didn't. It's really interesting. Every moment, it seems, or not every moment, every season, there's a couple of nuggets that come out of the season, and they usually have the two words Steven Nassi attached to them at some point throughout that year.
Man, I'll tell you what. We are on a roll right now. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Maybe I was in the headlines and everything before because of a bad thing. You know, doing bad things more than good.
No, and for doing racing things. I want to interrupt you there because it's not for bad things. It's for racing things. You know, it's things that happen at the racetrack and kind of the reason why we all go to pay to go watch you guys race.
No, man, I definitely hear your side of it. I just, you know, I think from now on, I'm obviously still wanting to produce that quality stuff, but I'm running up front, and I'm confident. You know, I know our stuff's good, and we're continuously working. You know, I don't think there's a team out there working harder right now. I think we can go anywhere and run good. You know, I mean, obviously stepping out of our boundaries and stuff, you know, going up to, you know, Wisconsin and whatnot. Those are tough trips, you know, one first time and everything, it's not going to, you know, go so great. But once we get up out of our realm a couple, you know, more than once, I believe we'll be able to run anywhere really well. And, you know, I think we have all the tracks that we've obviously been running over the years down pretty good. I think that's definitely showing more now. Even in the bigger races, I feel like we've had a shot to win them all. Well, I'm very fortunate to be in the position I am, and the team I have is just doing me great things.
We have a Steven Nassi tonight, driver of the number 51 Super Late Model. He's from Florida. Steven, Speed Weeks right in front of us is coming up. New Smyrna Speedway, World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing. Are you going to be there? Are you going to run the 9 nights that it takes to be a champion in that, or what's the plan?
No, I don't believe we're doing any of that this year. You know, we might sneak over to the 100-lapper or something, but definitely not running for a championship. I know my team's going to be over there with another driver, but, you know, I'm not going to be doing that this year. I'm really trying to get, you know, the short track nationals this year and do more things that I haven't, you know, been able to do in previous years. So we're trying to get things in plan, you know, set in stone for that. You know, I'd like to go back to Slinger. You know, we're going to Jennerstown. You know, like I said, the short track nationals, you know, up in Canada. I think we're going to do a lot more traveling, and, you know, it should be a good season.
Well, with that, we just had, previous to you, we just had Alex Nagy on the program, and Alex Nagy, of course, is the general manager of Jocassa, which is the home of the Canadian Short Track Nationals, and he announced on the program that there's going to be an even bigger incentive than just the $125,000 to win. They're actually going to put a bonus in there as a bounty to beat Bubba Pollard. So just so you know, there's even more on the line than $125,000. If you can go out there and knock off, now it's not just for you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're not telling you that it's just for you, but it's for everybody out there.
Oh,
there's going to be a bounty on Bubba's head.
It's been a long time since they put one up, and you know that I was just talking to somebody about that. You know, they should have something like that. You know, more often, I think it would excite the fans and everything. You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I plan on winning no matter what, so a bounty or extra money will be even better.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see you up here. What is your next super late model race on your schedule, my friend?
My next race is Showtime Speedway. I think it was like the 20th next month, February 20th.
So you'll be heading to Showtime, and that'll continue on. You got a busy schedule, I wouldn't doubt.
Oh, yeah. You know, and we're adding a couple of different things, you know, with the late model stock, you know, going to Orange County for the $30,000 to win, and going to Martinsville for the $30,000 to win there as well. So, you know, adding on a couple of things, and like I said, with all the traveling, you know, it's going to be a busy season.
And you may not be behind the wheel that much at the World Series, but I would imagine we're going to see in the pit area a bunch.
Yeah, you know, I might come over there for a couple days. You know, obviously my crew chief and team have been trying to talk me into it, you know, to come over and help out. But like I said, man, I have a busy schedule going on this year. So, you know, any off time I can get, I'm trying to do, you know, other activities I like to do as well. You know, I mean, racing is my passion, and I love it. You know, I eat, sleep, and breathe it. But, you know, I like to do other things, you know, that, you know, hanging out with my girlfriend, fishing, you know, going to the river, things like that, taking my airboat out, you know, just simple things that I like doing, you know, that, that are keep me going as well.
Awesome stuff. Steven, this has been great catching up with you. It didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, but I'll tell you what, everybody knew you were there.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, we were pretty dominant in the race and, you know, the pro race as well. So, I mean, my guys did an amazing job. You know, I'm just the guy behind the wheel, you know, doing what I can. And, you know, it's been working out lately. We have this good, you know, mesh together. You know, right now I think it's a force to be reckoned with because, you know, we're chucking hard at these big races. And, you know, I think it's turning a lot of heads, you know. I've always had a lot, you know, not always, but, you know, I've been getting this fan base. You know, that's great to have fans, you know, fans in the stands. But when you have the respect among your peers, you know, of other fellow drivers or old drivers, you know, I've had a lot more of that recently, you know, that people wouldn't imagine, you know, the kinds of people that are coming up to me and telling me, you know, to keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, talk about the Derby deal, how they didn't agree with it. And, I mean, there's some big names in there. So, you know, it's really cool to see, and, you know, I'm ready for the season.
Well, thanks so much for the time tonight. You are turning heads, and you are creating a good fan base, and good on you for doing it. But thanks so much for the time.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Driver number 51, Steven Nassi.
Yeah, that's cool. It's definitely a rough weekend. He did pick up the pro late model win, like he touched on, you know, earlier on at Cordell. So that he didn't leave empty handed. He did bring home a trophy at least, you know, definitely going to look forward to seeing him in a bunch more races for sure, hands down. You know, the fact he touched on the late model stock stuff, like running the Martinsville race, like running the 30,000 to win race. Completely different style of race car. You know, seeing him pick up some of those shows is going to be really interesting to see Steven Nassi in those types of races. And obviously his pro late model, super late model, straight rail programs have been lights out. If he does come up, that is the biggest challenge, you know, the biggest challenger in Bubba Pollard's world up here.
The final break of the night right now. When we come back, we're going to double dip. We got Geneva coming up, and we got Jason White coming up. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Derek Deersman, driver of the number 7 Way Freight Super Late Mall, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Might as well go for a son and nobody hurts.
NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing.
With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV-TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV-TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
You're listening to Racetime Radio.
Hey, laser lips. Your mama was a snowblower.
Right here on racetimeradio.com.
And we are back with you live on Racetime Radio. I want to thank you so much for tuning in on Sirius XM channel 167. Or maybe, just maybe, you're tuned in throughout the course of the week on the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com that airs Racetime Radio three times throughout the week. Or 98.9 XFM Antigonish. We want to welcome all of you as well. Or Gearhead Country Radio. Always remember, you can listen to Racetime whenever you feel like it, whenever you got time. Just get to iTunes, search Racetime Radio, hit subscribe and like, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. But what do you say we get back to the hotline, and we'll welcome in this year's Ladies of the Oval. She is a recipient of the sponsorship from Ladies of the Oval. Let's welcome in Geneva Sheffield. How are you tonight, Geneva?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Hey, congratulations. You got a good sponsor there on your race car.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have them on board for this season.
Now, that'll put you on the calendar for 2021, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. I got the calendar right here in front of us. The ladies have done a tremendous job with it, and you're going to be added to the mix. Now, I have also seen your race car, the number 8. You got a beautiful-looking race car there.
Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. So you run at definitely Kingston. You run there.
Brockville.
Yeah.
Cornwall. Whereabouts else can fans see you throughout the 2020 season?
So I go to Brighton Speedway every September for the Applefest shootout.
Nice.
And then I'm hoping this year to hopefully get down to Fulton Speedway in Fulton, New York. Hopefully Mohawk Speedway as well.
Fast joint.
And possibly Oswegan Speedway.
Cool. Ah, nice. The Big O. Have you been to the Big O at all? Have you seen that speedway?
I've only been there a few times to watch.
Mm. Yeah. Nice track, though. Nice and big, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful there.
Geneva, talk a little bit about the car that you race, the division that you're in. Is it the Crate Late Models then for Applefest you mentioned, or is it the like more of like the IMCA modifieds? I haven't seen the car.
It's kind of in between both of them. It's like a big block modified, so it's the Dirt Sportsman series. It's
gotcha.
A 602 Crate motor.
Yep, so it's like a center steer modified then.
Yeah,
gotcha.
So it's basically the same suspension and everything as the big block modifieds would be.
Cool, awesome.
Yeah.
So with that, is it just the motor that's different from a big block modified then, or are you able to put a big block in with that car and go race with the big block races, like for Super Dirt Week or for anything else? Yeah.
Yep, you pretty much are. The only difference a few years ago would have been the aluminum wheels.
Okay.
But the sportsmen are now allowed to run the aluminum rims that they ran before, and not just the steel rims.
Gotcha. So is that on the plans over the next couple of years, is to acquire a big block then and to go play with the big guys, I guess you could say?
Yeah, it's not out of the question.
Cool.
But it's kind of further down the road. I want to gain more experience with the class that I'm in. It's extremely competitive. So I kind of want to move my way through the ranks there, get some wins, maybe a championship before I kind of hop up with the big boys.
So learning curve getting up to the Sportsman Series, obviously with a full tube car, you guys carry some really big speed still. They're a lightweight, purpose-built race car. What's the path of getting to that point where you're at now? Did you come through like the four cylinders, the street stocks? What was your path to get where you're at?
So I started out in a 6-cylinder enduro type car. Brighton Speedway had them. They called them the Stinger cars. They're kind of like a beginner class. From there, I kind of moved up to the mini stock division, and I ran that for a few years, and then I decided to jump up yet again and go to a street stock. And from the street stock, it was basically right into the sportsman. I started in the rookie class in sportsman, though, for a year, and then I jumped in with the big boys, so to say, in the sportsman division.
So how many years total have you been into this sport, and how did you get into racing?
So I've been 12 years racing myself. My father was the one that got me into racing. He raced since he was fairly young, and so did my uncle, my great-uncle, Gary. They raced pretty much everything under the sun. They ran pavement and dirt all over eastern Ontario. My dad bought me my first Stinger car when I was 14. He was my big influence into racing, for sure. I was always helping him working on the race car and always at the race shop with him and my grandfather.
How about a favorite? Do you have a favorite driver that you look up to that you're a fan of?
I actually really look up to Jess Semkin, who is now...
Nope.
She's in the sprint car ranks. But I also look up to Matt Shepherd as well. He's one of my favorite big block drivers.
Yeah, he's awesome to watch. Maddie does a great job. And Jessica, too. We've had Jessica on the program. We've interviewed her at the Big O when the World of Outlaws came through. She does a great job behind the wheel.
Yeah, she does for sure. And I've followed her since I was really young. Obviously, being a female role model, she's been one of my favorites.
As a dirt racer, I always get a kick out of this answer. Now, obviously, you got to like racing on every track condition out there. You got to love every racetrack that you go to. So it's a crazy question for a radio guy to ask. What's your favorite racetrack, right? I mean, the next race, wherever I get to strap in, that's where I like to race. That's what all you people say. But when you ask a dirt guy or a dirt girl a question on the style of racetrack where you're good at, I always get a kick out of the answer because it seems like everybody's got a specialty or a kind of a best of package. When are you best on the racetrack? Is it when it slicks off? Is it when it's like a muddy racetrack? Or what is best for you out there on the racetrack?
I find my favorite type of track is more of a tacky track.
Yeah.
It's just a lot easier to get the handling down. It's easier for setup. And on a slick track, it's more, it's a little more skill. And there's a lot more brakes and gas playing. It's a lot more setup, and a lot of different types of setup play a factor in the dry slick. But on the tacky track, I feel like I'm a lot more confident because I know that the car's definitely going to stick, and I can kind of just hammer it down in and throw it in the corner, and I know it's going to stick. Where on the dry slick, it's more iffy, and there's more at play, and you need to make sure that you're playing with the brake and everything else to get through the corner properly.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you are going to be sponsored by Ladies of the Oval. If you don't know what that is, listeners, please check it out on Facebook. It's really cool. They got a cool calendar. You can get some decals. Check them out on Facebook, Ladies of the Oval. And they do a sponsorship. And Geneva, you were awarded it for 2020. Who else have you got as support on that race car? Is it just going to be Ladies of the Oval?
So far, it's just Ladies of the Oval. And I also have the Vinyl Solution, who does my vinyl work for me every single year. He's always helping me out. We actually race together, Dan Ferguson. He helps me out a lot with everything. I have County Steel, which is also his father. They help me out big time with setup advice and everything like that. And I also have Rapid Rad on board with me for the 2020 season as well.
Perfect. So you're deckled up. Can fans follow along with you on social media? Are you all hooked up that way?
Yep, so I have a Facebook page, Geneva Sheffield Racing, and I do have a Twitter page as well, at Sheffield Racing, and I do post a little bit on Instagram, but it's mostly just the photos.
Well, it sounds like you're set up for 2020. It's going to be an exciting season, and we sure enjoyed having you on Racetime Radio tonight.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for the time. You have a good one, and I know we'll check in with you throughout the course of the year and find out how you're making out.
Sounds good. Thank you for the time.
You betcha. That's Geneva Sheffield. She's all ready to go for 2020, Junior.
Definitely. And sorry for not knowing on the car side. I see that we've got it on the release. When I seen the release, I went through on Twitter and seen who we got coming up.
Yeah.
What a cool division. You know, when you look at the sprint car program that you're seeing pop up kind of at numerous short tracks with the crate engine, you're seeing a lot more crate involvement on the feeder divisions as well, kind of away from the built engines.
Yeah.
The cost savings there is crazy. With the way that they've got the rules set up and everything else.
Yeah.
And kind of this segue leads into a big congratulations to all the racetracks for doing this exact same thing on the feeder divisions at local tracks in Ontario. Of course, news came out this week that all the tracks in Ontario have basically created one rule book for super stock and one rule book for mini stocks on the asphalt side. So I got to tip a hat to that. You're going to see lots of upcoming girls and guys like Geneva out at the racetrack due to that rule book alone.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's switch the conversation, shall we? For our final segment of the night, this driver comes from Sun Peaks, BC, and he is getting ready to go back to a racetrack that he has sailed around. Jason White is going to be heading to the ARCA Menard Series. He's going to drive for Andy Hillenberg, and he's with us right now on the hotline. Jay, how are you tonight?
Joe, how are you guys doing?
Doing wonderful, fantastic. Man. How did your son do, first of all, today? Did he win? Did he fly? Yeah. What did he do?
You know what? He's been doing awesome. We just finished, got back from a ski competition, and we rushed back to our home mountain to be in a competition today. So it's a lot like racing. There's a lot of traveling and a lot of rushing around and getting equipment prepared and stuff. So he got a couple of really good results: a first and a second and a third and a fourth. So he took all the podium there. So it was good.
You gotta love it. He's still got two legs. His feet still work and his hands still work. That's all good.
I got you back there now.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Daytona testing. You had 2 days of testing just, 2 weeks ago. How did it go for you, bud?
Well, it's kind of a teaser now. You know, when I went down there last year, it was my first time around the track, so it was very mind-blowing. This time, it was mind-blowing, but not quite as crazy as last year. And we didn't get much drafting in. There's not a lot of people that want to draft with anybody that's not part of their team or part of their program. So it was really tough to get to draft with guys. So we spent a lot of time just working on the speed of the car itself. And I got really comfortable right around on the track. I went right to the high side where I was near the end of the race last year, where I felt the car was the fastest and the most comfortable. So I started moving around and trying to see what the car did in different situations and stuff. And I felt a lot more comfortable going into my sophomore campaign here and seeing if we can do better than last year.
No problem learning. And I guess you do every time you're behind the wheel, no matter how many times you've been behind the wheel, you always learn something. And that's cool, Jay. And the other cool part is when the Lucas Oil 200 comes up February the 8th at Daytona, those other guys are going to hope they're going to want to draft with you. They're going to want to draft with whoever is going to make them fast. They're not really going to have a choice, are they?
Well, that's just it. They're not picking their dancing partners until there's 20 laps to go, and that's where we were last year. We were 20 laps to go, and we were in the lead pack, and all of a sudden I was drafting with Bobby Gerhardt and Tad Moffitt, and Todd Gilliland hit me so hard from behind it just about knocked out my molars. So you just got to find out where your car is the fastest. If it's fastest in behind pushing, or if it's faster being pushed, or if it's faster third in line or fourth in line, you got to figure those things out throughout the race. And really, that's what we're going to be focused on. And you know, I hope we can be in that pack again at the end, because we're going to take the same sort of the scenario is going to be. We're going to be smart about this thing again in the first half of this race is usually a bit of a wreck fest. And, you know, so we're going to try and be smart, hang back with a couple cars we've already talked to. If we can get a three or four car draft, and we can be in that draft and stay on the lead lap and let these let attrition take its toll and see where we can go from there. You know, we're not quite in the same situation as we were last year. I am approved for the trucks, and we'll be in the truck race on the 14th as well with Josh Rayum in the 34 truck. So it's going to be as much experience as I can get in the ARCA race to get myself into that truck race and see what we can do there. That's the cherry on the pie right there. I'm waiting for that.
Absolutely. Last year, unfortunate circumstances kind of separated what you were supposed to be doing just through the qualifying, and it was due to rain, correct? There was a little bit of weather and different things like that to get into that truck program for 2020 or 2019, correct?
Well, there was two or three actually things. The first thing that happened was the business of race cars bit me. I was supposed to be in the 33 truck with the points.
Gotcha.
That was basically locked in. There's really nothing that's locked in unless you're, I think, the top five or whatever.
Yeah.
But the scenario is now that we need to be we need seven or eight trucks to have problems in qualifying for us to not qualify. So, you know, last year we had the business of it. And then the truck that I was in trying to qualify, it didn't have enough wind tunnel time and it didn't have enough steam behind it. So it was really a tough pill to swallow. But you know what? You guys know me better than anybody. I don't stay down long, and I'm coming back for retribution. And I'm really looking forward to getting in that truck and getting our practice times down on single truck runs, because we qualify at single truck runs at Daytona.
For sure.
So there's no point in going out and drafting in practice. You might as well go out and just get your truck as fast as it possibly can, right?
So. Absolutely. So looking forward into the ARCA 200, into the Lucas Oil 200, you mentioned that you had a plan. You've got some time. You're comfortable now in those cars, in the truck as well, in the larger style car, at the larger tracks. You're comfortable. Looking at what you've done in the past and looking at what has happened in the past, you know, good and bad, what is it going to take to be a success for you? What is a success? Leaving Daytona after the ARCA 200, after the truck race, what's success to Jason White?
Well, I mean, finish both races with all four corners on each race vehicle, mm-hmm. obviously. I'm always a realist in that sense, is I want to make sure that I keep these racing machines clean, and I don't want to be a guy that, you know, that is known for wrecking stuff. So first and foremost, keep those machines clean. The ARCA race, a top 10 is very attainable. We were in position last year even for a top 10. So if we can stay out of the, you know, like I said, the attrition and the stuff that's going to happen, whether we are in it or not, if we can stay away from those things, that'll be great, and a top 10 is definitely attainable. The truck race, obviously, first and foremost, get the practice in, get that truck fast on single truck runs for qualifying, get ourselves in the race, and then after that, we're going to do the same thing. I've got a couple guys that I'm working with, a really good friend of mine, Jesse Little, in the 97 truck. This is his first time at Daytona. We've kind of talked a little bit already, and a couple other guys we've talked a little bit that we're going to try and kind of hang back as well and let, you know, things take its course. Again, the truck race last year, my teammate Josh Rayum ended up sixth.
Yeah.
Just by being smart, you know. So I'm just going to try and be as smart as I can, and I'm not in the best equipment. So we got to just take it in stride, make sure that when opportunities rise, that we're pouncing on those opportunities and putting ourselves in a position. I always say this, put yourself in a position to be the best finish you possibly can. If that's a top 10, that's amazing. If it's a top 5, obviously that's fabulous. And if it's better than that, well, then we just we celebrate for a long time.
Yeah, to finish first you must finish, correct?
Well, you guys know me better than anybody. That's how I always look at it. And you know, I'm not the best out there, that's for sure, and I'm not in the best equipment, but I can be as smart as I need to be. So hopefully that'll kind of come to the forefront, and we can just keep these things clean. And if we can do that, you know, 5-10 laps to go, then she's go time. Then everything goes out the window, and let's go and see what these things can do and how far up the ladder we can climb.
So we know that you're going to the Big D for two races. But now we got to switch gears a little bit and talk about the big O in the Pinty Series. You're going to you're going to Ashwiken. You're going dirt racing in the Pinty Series. Are you going to be there? We don't know what your schedule is yet, but when that came out, you were one of the names that jumped off the page to me that I want to see Jason White in a dirt race in a Pinty's car. Like that was it, you were one of the names. Derek White was another name that I want to see, you know, in a dirt race in a Pinty's car, because I think that you two are both going to be exciting as hell. Those two names definitely jump off the page is it something that's on the docket for 2020? Do you have anything put together? Can you kind of elaborate on what the fans can expect for Jason White in 2020 up here in Canada?
Yeah, for sure. And trust me, I was so excited. I actually started on the dirt when I was 15 years old, and I love dirt. It's a lot of fun, and you know, I think bringing Ashwiken to the NASCAR Pinty schedule is a leveling in our series, and it's going to be a very key factor, I believe, for the championship. The last 4 or 5 years, you've noticed the trends that if you have a really good road course racing season and you have a fairly decent oval finishing season, you're going to be in there for the championship. I think this Ashwiken is really going to throw a little bit of a twist in that. At that time of year, it's going to throw a twist into the championship somehow. And for guys like me, it's going to give us an opportunity to go out and have a whole bunch of fun. I can't wait to get there. And I'm working on a deal. We're working to put 3 or 4 races together with DJ. And we're going to be at Mossport for the first race. And then we're still working. My daughter has graduation on the first Ducasa race, so I definitely won't be at that. But possibly 2 or 3 other races than Ashwiken, but it's in the works for sure. And to say I'm excited would be an understatement. It's an absolute awesome thing to add to our kind of, it's a plethora now of things that we do. We're road racers, we're street racers, we're oval racers. We've been to New Hampshire now we're on the dirt. It's just like, it really shows the experience of the drivers, and it really shows the talent and the level of talent in the series for sure.
10 years ago, Jason White, could you ever imagine 10 years ago looking into a crystal ball saying, I'm going to go start at Daytona. It's going to be my second time around, and the Pinty's cars are going to go on dirt. I'm going to go do that too. Can you imagine 10 years ago, could you think this would even be possible?
Well, you know what, Joe, there's a lot of things if you go back 10, 12 years that I can't even fathom. That, you know, being a Western racer, getting to 100 races in the NASCAR Pintys and the old NASCAR Canadian Tire Series. I mean, it was such an uphill battle to accomplish that, and it was so great to accomplish that, and being one of, I think there's less than 10 of us that have 100 races in Canada. So that was the first thing that just absolutely blows my mind. And then, yeah, getting to the test a couple weeks ago at Daytona, I got up there and all of a sudden I had confidence, and I just kind of looked around as I was doing my laps and I thought, wow, like, yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling that this is in the cards. And you know, like I've said many times and I'll say it many more, a racer puts himself in a position to race. You could be the best race car driver in the world, and if you don't get out on the track and you don't have the wherewithal to understand the sport, to understand marketing, to understand how this whole system works, rather than just being a guy or a girl that can grab the steering wheel and pound on the throttle, you have to understand this game, and you have to put yourself in a position to be able to do this kind of stuff. And I'm super proud that we've worked so hard, all the partners I've had throughout the years, all the people that have worked for me on my crews, my family support, everything. It's just been, it's like the stars all aligning, and if I could come home with a great finish for all those people that I just talked about and every race fan in Canada,
that would just be the icing on the cake for me. It would be awesome.
And
sure.
you take the whole, put yourself in position real, because you put yourself in position last year at Jocassa by making the generator run. And I still hadn't had the chance to say thank you to you for that. I know I was standing up in the spotter stand, probably the most tense race that I've ever got ready to spot for, and the lights went out, and I thought it was part of the light show, and I was like, oh, okay, it's okay. And then
Alex
everybody
will
started
turn them on again.
Yeah, they're going to do like a light dance or something, right? And I'm standing up top, and the lights went out, and I thought, oh, okay. And then I hear on the NASCAR thing, like, we need help with the generator. And then I see you running, you know, from one end of the paddock to the other, and you helped get those lights back on. And I never had a chance to say thank you for that, but I know every fan, every driver, every team echoes that thank you, because you weren't just like helping the guys get it fixed. You were up in there, up on the ladder, up in the generator. I don't know what you fixed. I don't care what you fixed, but you did it, and the lights came back on, and they never went back out.
You know what? I've got two or three of those generators in my gravel crushing spreads and our screeners and stuff, so I kind of knew what was going on right away, and there was a heavy-duty mechanic there that he knew what was going on. But the whole time, Jeff Lapsovich was standing down beside me, and I kept thinking about 2008, and the lights went out two or three times, and old Joe Lapsovich was up trying to get the lights going, and I'll never forget, because Don Thompson bummed a smoke off of one of the officials on the straightaway in the first 1 minute. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But it just reminds me into the days of, you know, when we first started this series, I got quite a good chuckle out of it. And then finally, obviously, when the lights came back on. But you know what the crazy thing was going green in those cars, and we couldn't see a damn thing out of those cars. They fogged up so bad, and the lights were out for about half an hour, and they fogged right up in there.
They did.
Really?
Every car you couldn't see.
You'll have to have a defogger this year.
Every car you couldn't see out of the windshield. They're coming to the green, and Andrew Ranger had a little circle about the size of a dinner plate that he could see out of, and it wasn't directly in front of him. It was over in the middle of the car.
Well, he's famous for that. In Montreal, Montreal race, what is his famous words? Brian Ellis always tells me he needed rag on stick.
Yeah,
I need rag on stick.
Jason, if there's anybody that has earned their way to the seats that you're about to drive into or to strap your butt into, it's you, my friend. You were the guy responsible for me having an A&W hamburger in the middle of the summer about 5 years ago or 6 years ago that I've never had. It was because of you, Jason White.
Right on.
Well, it's going to be dynamite. Awesome. Can't wait for Daytona to come around. Do us a favor. Say hello to Andy Hillenburg for all of us here. We love Andy, and we've had him on the show a bunch of times years ago. Just give him a big howdy-doody for us, will you?
I definitely will, and I'm really looking forward to getting down there. I'm going to be well on top of all the social media more than ever, showing everybody the ups and downs, the highlights, the lowlights. Obviously, last year doing that live stream there when I didn't make the race was the hardest post I've had to do. So hopefully we can get some retribution and we can get back into the Daytona, into the truck race and actually take the green and enjoy ourselves. And, another thing that I've got going on, I actually changed my flight 2 days earlier because my Niners are down in Miami in the Super Bowl.
Nah.
So I'm going to squeak down to Miami real quick there and see if I can watch my Niners win the bowl.
That's cool.
Well, good luck with that. We will keep our eye on you, I can guarantee it. Jay, thanks so much for the time tonight. Safe travels, and we'll be keeping up with you at Daytona.
Right on, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on, and thanks, everybody, for following. Follow me up at Racing Jason White, and it's going to be a good ride, so hopefully we can get to the top.
That is Jason White, Sun Peaks, BC, Daytona. That's his next stop, Junior.
For sure. And thanks again for fixing the generator.
He's dynamite. He really is.
Just a great cat.
He has earned his way all the way through. And I'll tell you what, he's in for some good results. If there's a level-headed guy out there, it's Jason White.
For sure, he puts himself in position to execute every single time. Just a great guy. Really looking forward to seeing what he can do. And last year was such a heartbreak. I remember that post that he talked about vividly.
Yep.
We're hoping for a good one this time.
Well, we got to thank you all for tuning in tonight. That's going to do it for Junior and I here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q here for hooking us up with everybody. Got to thank Scotty in the Toronto Sirius XM studio for wiring us into Washington and everybody there. Join us again next Sunday night. We'll have another full 2 hours. We'll talk Speed Weeks. We may even have a guest on from Sirius NASCAR Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back with you next Sunday. Have a good one, everybody. Safe week.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.